thank you to our sponsors, Digital Magic the Gathering Online Card Specialist, CardHoarder.com, and MTGOTraders.com. And also thank you to our paper magic specialist, GondaPlaid.com, along with Cape Fear Games, an online card store and brick-and-mortar card store. You can find us each week on MTGCast.com, StarCityGames.com, TCGPlayer.com, MyMTGO.com, and MTGSalvation.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to a very special Monday Night Magic episode 210. That's 210. This show's been going on for way too long. But to help keep this fresh, exciting, and sweaty ball free, I have two co-hosts with me tonight. Who's sitting around the table here?
Well,
nobody,
apparently. There's...
Apparently, I'm just talking to myself again.
Oh, I was scratching my sweaty balls.
Sweaty balls.
I was going to do like a whole nice intro, Tom, and you just smashed it and poured salt all over it and then took its wallet.
Are there any other type of balls besides sweaty ones?
Baby powdered.
I mean, okay, so guys, you're landed on the line. This is truth or dare. Have you ever actually done that?
Baby powdered my balls?
Yes. You brought it up.
I literally do it every single time I go on like a vacation to some hot, moist place.
I can't tell if you're serious or kidding.
Baby powder? You don't. It just keeps you dry. I have psoriasis and stuff. So like, otherwise it might you chafe and stuff. Why would I?
Wait, you have psoriasis on your penis?
Yeah, you have psoriasis all over your whole body. Like,
are you as much shock as I am right now?
It's baby powder. Say I put gold bond.
Well. In Conley's defense, I've done something equally stupid. You know the whole I'm gonna spritz myself with cologne.
Oh.
That's a mistake you really only make once.
Yeah, if you have a shanker when you do that, that's really going
to
hurt.
Utterly confused as to how this is stupid. Baby powder is literally invented to go between your ass cheeks and on your balls to keep you from rubbing up against stuff and hurting yourself.
So how do you apply it? Do you have to like lay on the ground to do that, or do you just like puff it up?
No, you stand over some like preferably a white carpet, and then you put some in your hand, and you like I don't understand. You're a medical.
Have you ever had like it go horribly wrong where you used like baking powder instead of
no? It says baby powder
had, like,
right on the
now. Wait, gentlemen, there is something we have to get onto about there. What is Monday Night Magic about?
This is baby powdered balls.
This is about the proper care so you don't get psoriasis around in the. I would use the word perineum, but I think other people have used the word like gunt.
I guess considering we have mostly male listeners, we do need to have like a men's health corner every week.
I used to do this for the magic school bus we had at Hygiene Minute where I would describe things. And people, if you have trouble in tropical places such as Puerto Rico or Hawaii, lather up some baby powder on your balls and everything's good to go.
You have to be a real man to get baby powder to lather up. That's all. You got rubbed real hard.
I don't know how that's an awkward thing at all.
If you really want people to be hygienic, then what we need is like just a hose laying outside a tournament center that you can spray people down with as they're entering.
And then baby powder, so you can just like kind of like delousing, sort of like in the movies.
Yeah, just tossing on and run.
Poof. You know, when they walk in, except to be on their crotch.
Tom, what use other than for infants themselves would baby powder be used for other than that use?
Making your hands soft.
You pick up their legs and you just poof it right in their crotch.
Yeah, but that's what like people other than babies use baby powder and baby oil and stuff like that.
For feet.
You guys are weird. All right, let's
All right, well, thank you, Conley. We had a hygiene minute. Everybody now is going to be having less chafing and, you know, fungal infections in that area.
Well, quit listening to the cast.
Boxers they ride up and they get stuck into the moisture, and then you have the like frontal wedgies and you're picking it out all day long. And when you have like these 12-hour days of magic and nothing but walking around, you got to protect yourself.
Well, and if you wear as much corduroy as Conley does, you really have to be careful with this stuff.
Because,
you know, the friction causes heat. I mean, fungus loves heat and sweat.
There's no fungus. I just don't like moisture. Gee, you guys are... absolutely ridiculous. I'm getting ridiculed on my own podcast for using baby powder.
No. We've not all made fun of you, but what's it like growing fungal on your nether regions?
Jock itch is the bane of professional magic. You heard it right here.
I also like to lube up random twigs and stick them up my anus.
People actually do that.
I know they do that. That's something you can kill me for. Not for baby powder in a medical use. Moving on.
All right. Well, Conley, you are all fired up for this week in Magic, so we're going to go. You need to defend yourself, not only but regarding your kind of somewhat erotic use of baby powder,
which I have to defend myself for. I should not have to defend myself for
that.
That's
what I mean. This is ridiculous. But I, like you said, you just wanted to clear the air because this is so. Well, this is what happens when people, like on an anonymous forum, like comments on an article, they can say whatever they want, completely not based on reality.
All right. Well, this is absolutely ludicrous because, so basically, I write my article for Channel Fireball last week after missing a week. I'll actually be catching up by writing two articles this week, including the second part of this tournament report. But anyway, I write my part one of my tournament report, which details Grand Prix DC, basically, my trip there, including some strange interactions with a large old female. And I basically tell my tale or whatever, and then somebody in the forums is like, I was wondering how you beat my brother in round 9 with an Ulamog that's not in your 75. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no Ulamog. He's like, well, yep, you definitely won the game with an Ulamog. Game 2, you boarded in. I watched you. Like, no, I didn't. I don't know what else to tell you. And then his brother comes on. So now there's two brothers of the guy I beat, who I beat handedly, by the way. It's not like this was a close match or anything. I literally ended the game with all his dust in my hand, and it's my best matchup as Planeswalkers. And he's like, nope, we all my brothers and I have been wondering about how you possibly brought in a 16th card and it's Ulamog and we watched you attack with it. And I'm like, all right, guys, please describe the board state where this occurred because it obviously did not occur. They obviously didn't answer that question because they would have been complete lies. And they're like, yep, we don't think we're going to, you know, be called out on this one since you're Conley Woods and we're just nobodies, but you definitely cheated and all this stuff. I'm like, are you kidding me? Gavin luckily defended me because he watched the game also, the round 9. And he assured everyone that there was no Ulamog. But I honestly don't know what else to say other than that there was no Ulamog. It's not even an insane card to bring in that matchup. Even if I had it in my sideboard, I probably wouldn't be bringing it in. So there's no way I'm going to risk anything by cheating and throwing a 16th random card into my deck. You know, it's just it was a completely ludicrous accusations, and I'm clearing my name. So if you read those forums, disregard anything that those few brothers said in their bias, I assume.
Well, and everybody that commented after that clearly was agreeing with you about this.
Yeah, it's not even worth the risk. It's not like I was bringing in, like, pithy needles or something like that. It's actually good against Planeswalkers. Like, Ulamog's okay, but he's just basically a threat that kills a Jace and then dies to Path Exile or something. Like, he's like that would not... If I was going to go out on a limb and cheat by bringing in a 16th card, it would not be an Ulamog. I can assure you that.
What would you cheat to bring in?
Preferably I wouldn't cheat, Doc.
Oh, okay. I was trying to catch you on that one a little bit.
If I'm going to cheat, it's going to be like Pernicious Deed.
His 16th card is Baby Powder.
That's what my 16th card is. No, but like my matchup is already insane. I already had all this dust. I'm bringing in 4 Duress, 3 Negates, and like an additional Jace and an additional Gideon against them. So I'm already bringing in 9 cards and like main deck, I have Mind Shatters and Esper Charms for their O-Rings and All Is Dust and, you know, like solid all-around good cards against them, my own Gideons, my own Jaces, and there's no way I would ever, you know, bring in Ulamog. So all I have to say is that was insane, and move on, people.
Now, was there anything else that you wanted to kind of – we also, before the show, we talked about one other, I guess, public appearance that you've done that you wanted to sort of defend what you had said or give the full story for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I assume the only more listened or watched media than our show is the Magic Show. And on the GPDC show, which was not this week but last week's, basically he had asked, you know, how do you feel about expensive standard decks and standard cards and, you know, $100 cards potentially. And I, of course, gave like a 4-minute response because those interviews are usually 20 minutes long, I'd say. And he has to edit them because he can't show the entire 20-minute interview per person. So he edited it, and apparently people took it the wrong way, and some people accused me of being malicious and douchey in the forums, which is slightly, you know.
And we know you're decidedly not douchey because you have excellent hygiene.
Well, I mean, to be fair, when I need to be, I could be douchey, but I'm typically in a joking manner. I try to, you know, keep things light and funny, but you know, this basically people were saying that I act like a douche by claiming that people need to man up and buy their expensive cards. And that's not all I said in the interview. That's the part that he showed. But I was basically saying that, like, if you're a competitive player, it does not matter the cost of a card because you should do whatever you need to do to acquire that. And when you show up to a tournament like a Grand Prix or a Pro Tour or even a PTQ, you should never you know, settle on a deck based on the fact that you did not have the cards for another deck that you really wanted to play. Like, you should trade, you should buy, you should, you know, get a summer job, do whatever you have to do, make a little bit of sacrifice to play at the highest level. If you're not wanting to play at the highest level, or you're playing casually or EDH or anything like that, it's fine to sub in cards, you know, I have no problem with that. But if you truly, your goal is to win and make it to the Pro Tour and do well, you need to do whatever you can to play with the right equipment, just like you would in any other hobby, any other sport. Like, so, I mean, my statements are taken a little out of context and people got a little upset, but I stand by them, and hopefully everyone understands a little bit about what I was saying.
Well, I would say, I'll get your opinions here too, Jack, but my side is, I'm obviously not an attorney player, but I guess I would agree with your side, kind of, where if I knew I wanted to be competing at the top level, which would be trying to get to a PT, you kind of have to go with the best tools that are available. I guess I agree with you on that. I will not be bringing, you know, my Kiln Fiend deck to a PTQ, because I know that's not going to make it.
But you got the element of surprise there, though. So.
That's true.
Well, to be fair,
that's a Kiln Fiend.
If you're okay with not winning the tournament and you just want to show up and have some fun, bringing Kiln Fiend is 100% fine. But if you honestly want to win the tournament, make it a Pro Tour, and play your best Magic possible, you need to. You can't have one of those factors being card availability. You already have a million other factors to work on, including play skill, mulligan factors, you know, mental game state, all these things you need to work on, and having to work on an entirely different thing that should never be a factor just hurts your game even more. So just do what it takes to get the cards if you want to play at the highest level. And, you know, it sucks that cards are expensive, but, you know, they need to be somewhat expensive. Otherwise, we don't have the secondary market. We don't have Magic sustaining as much as it does. Like, we have dealers and stuff like that that, you know, make a living selling these cards. And while there doesn't need to be a $100 card, like, it does help them out a little bit. So you have to look at things from both sides. It sucks that cards are a little too expensive right now, but do what it takes to win, and that's basically all there is to it.
Now, do you guys know what sound it makes when a water truck runs into a vinegar truck?
Doosh.
Doosh. I've been saying that the entire time Conley's been talking. Because we must have said the word douche about 800 times within about the last 2 minutes.
They called me a douche. They literally, like, they were like, yeah, Jerry T's cool, and Craig Wesco is weird and reserved, and Conley Woods, well, I guess there has to be a douche in every group. That was literally one of the comments. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm actually one of the cooler, nicer people on the Pro Tour, most people seem to think, and I would obviously...
And one of the most humble. I mean, really.
Well, no, I'm not trying to, like, you know, sell myself here, but all I'm saying is, like, most people think that, like, I'm one of the cooler people to hang out with and stuff, and, like, while I am a little over the top, I do that kind of, you know, as a charade.
Is your collar popped while you're podcasting right now?
I have no clothes on.
Conley, sweet. I heard that, like, your blood is
just
actually
just baby powder, right?
Yeah, I'm just rolling in baby powder. That's the other thing, is if you don't want to get on your carpet, you could stand in the bathtub and put it on.
Oh, that's a horrific mental image right now. It's just like you looking like a powdered donut. Oh.
You literally put it in between. I hate you.
Or Tom, even worse, he's like rubbing it on his chest, and he's just like, yes, more baby powder. Yes.
I'm pretty sure you can go to uses. I'm going to find a link while we podcast. Uses for baby powder. I'm going to prove you wrong.
Oh, you're going to find some amazing uses, I bet.
Yeah, it's probably going to be pretty
also,
disgusting.
Also, here you start crying softly. Tom, I have to go baby powder myself and take another shower. All right, guys. Are you guys paying attention all to the M11 spoilers as they come up?
Yes.
Yeah. I was very happy the dual lands that came up with are making a comeback.
Baneslayer's back, mofos.
So what do you guys think this is going to do for the price right now? Is the price actually going to go up because now people know it's going to be around longer, or is it actually going to go down because people can get them out of a different set of packs?
I think it's obviously going to go down just because there's going to be more out there. There will be more of a supply to go around is my reasoning on it.
Yeah, I think Baneslayers will go down, not by a lot. They'll still probably be like $35, $40 because they still see a ton of play. But, you know, getting it out of the $50, $60 range will be helpful.
Now, did any of the other new previews excite you guys at all? We have a handful of actual new cards. We have the Captivating Vampire, which I thought was interesting at least.
Captivating Vampire? It's cool. It does suck that most likely Vampire Nocturnus will not be reprinted because of it, though.
So this weekend taking place is that Vampire Lord.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to print two Vampire Lords in a corset.
The only problem I have with it is it's kind of like the blue Merfolk guy from, I think it was Shards of Alara or Conflux or whatever it was, where you would tap a Merfolk and could counter a spell or tap seven Merfolk or something like that. I mean, it's cool, it's interesting, but it's overcommitting way too much to the board. And, I mean, you're going to need six guys to get that out for it to be effective, so just, or at least five, and, excuse me, And nah, it doesn't interest me that much.
I just have to say, the one that still has me the most interested is the reassembling skeleton.
I do think that one's good. Like, it's very Narcomoeba. Like, you know, kind of reminds me of that card. Obviously not quite as good as Narcomoeba, but it has a lot of the same uses, which is cool.
It's like from the casual player, me to seize this, and immediately in my vision pops up Pestilence sitting right next to it. Saying, oh, I did all my Pestilencing. Here's my reassembling skeleton back. I get to keep my Pestilence.
Yeah. So many sweet uses for baby powder so far. Do you know that ants will not walk across baby powder? So if you sprinkle it like underneath a door, ants will stay out of your house.
Really?
They won't crawl on your body.
And you could use it as a dry shampoo.
Conley's rectum is ant safe. 100% impervious to ants.
You could use it as a dry shampoo to get oil out of your hair. You can cure squeaky floorboards with it. You can
exercise demons with it.
You can clean grease from walls.
Well, it's kind of like it's like the trick with Tide, where if you feel like put Tide in the carpet, it'll fluoresce under like black lights.
Yeah, if you have hot rooms. Sticky sheets because you have like you're sleeping outdoors or something, you can sprinkle it on your sheets and it gets it out. You can clean sand off of wet skin with it, which is something. You can untangle a chain necklace.
But wait, then you're covered in baby powder instead of sand, so how's that any better?
Sand's much more annoying than baby powder. Baby powder's soft and whatever. You can prevent friction burns when shaving with your legs with an electric razor.
You can prevent friction burns with a lot of things with baby powder. Just saying.
All I'm saying is it's a wonderful...
It looks like a donut, ain't too bad.
It costs like $1.99, and you'll have like a 6-month supply. I recommend every Magic player.
Well, I heard that's what the ancient Egyptians used to like move the stone blocks and make the Great Pyramids. That was actually baby powder.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
wait. We have a new business opportunity here. You could actually sponsor baby powder.
Well,
like you could have you on the cover with a slight bottle off to the side.
That's actually, since I've been doing nothing but talking this entire show so far, that's actually a good segue for some requests from our wonderful and loyal listeners. Nobody wants to help me out there? No.
Well, I'm not a listener. I'm actually a host on the show. You might realize this.
Segue for me, so I'm not the one.
Oh, okay. So like, I'm here every week, Conley. You know, I mean.
Anyway, basically, I am starting up a new business that involves cards in some manner. I will not release the entire details of it now, but I will probably either next week or the week after.
No baby powder involved in this at all, right?
But no baby powder.
Okay, good.
But I will be announcing a contest probably next week. And if you want to get on the ball now and contact me or whatever, for any web designers or graphic designers that can come up with logos properly, and probably be giving away some cool cards like Dual Lands, things like that. You know, I haven't exactly determined what we're going to be giving away. But if you are interested in doing any of that and are not, like, insanely expensive or anything, go ahead and send me an email at conley@mtgcast.com. Get in contact with me, and we can discuss further details off of the air.
Yes, and as Conley, as you get more information, we'll be sharing that with all the listeners on Monday Night Magic, as this is wholeheartedly MTGCast approved.
Because if there's anything we can do at MTGCast other than apply baby powder to ourselves, it's whore our shows out religiously.
Yes. We've done pretty well. We're good at that, too, yeah.
It is better to have somebody else apply the baby powder to you if possible. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's most things are always better with a friend. Most of the time.
Sometimes it involves a cigar. That's all I'm saying.
Some PVC pipe, compressed air, and some peanut butter.
But back to the M10 topic, since we're going on. Dual Lands are back. Bane Slayer's back. Those are cool things. Reassembling Skeleton is probably the coolest new card.
So Conley, do you hate Sorcerer Strongbox as much as I do?
I
think it's an okay casual card, and I think it's an okay card in Limited. Like, if you look at cards like Dreamstone Hedron.
But this is a flip of coin. You have a 50% chance of not even getting it for 6 mana.
But if you don't get it, you don't sacrifice the card unless you win the flip.
Yeah, it's true.
You pay four, you untap, you know, you do your thing or whatever, you try to draw three cards. If you don't, you try it the next turn. Like,
I guess
in Limited,
it's not a sorcery. I'll give you that. It's not a sorcery.
Yeah, it's not a sorcery, and I think in Limited it's fine. In Constructed, it's obviously atrocious. Anytime somebody says flip a coin, if it doesn't say, like, you win the game on it and you get 17 flips or something, chances are it's not going to be a good card. But, you know, this card was obviously not designed for Constructed. It's, you know, probably pretty fun for casual or whatever. You can buy it back with your Goblin Welder over and over again and keep trying to draw cards. And I mean, it's not the greatest card ever, but you know, you got to have some stinkers every once in a while.
I think it's going to be fine and limited, but as far as, like, I mean, there's so many easier ways to draw cards than casual, Tom.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Like you said, we'll see what else is in the set, but, like, but there has to be filler. You're right.
There's the Clark's Thumbs decks I'm sure you've seen in casual, though, and they would, oh, like, yeah. Well,
got to use that legendary artifact every once in a while.
What's that, squeeze, the one, the blue-red colorless where you draw two cards if you win the flip?
Oh, God, yes. All the flip cards, I always have to relook up when a new flip card comes out, because I'm like, I don't look at these until something else comes out to
I'm
make
looking it up sense. Now. It's like squeezed revenge. That's it. And colorless, red, blue, flip. Choose a number, flip a coin that many times until you lose a flip, whichever comes up first. If you win all the flips, draw two cards for each flip.
Ooh.
So, like, that's obviously already a pretty fun card with Clark's Thumb, but, like, this would be just an additional card to use.
What set is that from? That's actually pretty that's interesting.
Apocalypse.
Okay.
It's an uncommon, and it is sorcery.
Very cool. The art's even pretty slick, too, on it.
I mean, most squeeze arts are cool.
All right. So we for other promos, we have the July F&M promos to be an Anthemancer.
Yay!
They're only 2 years late on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of past its heyday, but that's usually when
it's
these cards
really
come out.
It's still a really good card. I mean, I think it could see play now, but, like, people would rather kill your lands than use an Anthemancer on them right now.
Yeah, well, do you guys feel that there's too much land destruction effects right now in Standard, or do you feel it's at the right place it should be?
I don't think there's enough. Like, there's no 3-mana destruction. Spreading Seas isn't destruction so much as color screw a little bit, but, like, if you're playing a 2-color deck, like, Spreading Seas is almost negligible, as well as you can use, like, enchantment removal to deal with it or whatever. But, I mean, really, the only actual land destruction is Tectonic Edge, which is 100% balanced and fair. Goblin Rune Blaster, which costs 4 and is double red, you know, that guy's completely fine. Then you have, like, 5 drop, or, like, I guess Roiling Terrain, and then you have some, like, 5 drops, like Acidic Slime and then Mold Chamber going up. But, like, there's no Stone Rain, there's no, you know, if you remember Magnivore a couple years ago, like, when you had Boomerang and Stone Rain and Eye of whatever that card was, Eye of Nowhere, like, that was, like, a legitimate land death strategy with Annex and stuff, and nowadays I think it's, you know, less than the amount that would be perfect. So,
all right. What about you, Jack? Do you play any land destruction or land screw? I guess, whatever you want to call it, land kill.
Yeah, I've played a couple of decks, and I mean, the problem is with most land destruction decks is before you do anything serious, you have to make it to turn 4. A couple of the quicker decks in the format, like All In Red and even Jund and whatever iteration it's in now, they can pretty much put the screws to you before then. So, I mean, you could argue that, yeah, cheaper land destruction would be better, but the problem is if you did that, people would then start pitching holy hell about, oh, God, Stone Rain's back, blah, 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 blah. I think, like, with the angle Wizards is trying to play, that they're not really looking to print cards like Stone Rain, but I'll probably eat Carl on that eventually. But I agree with Conley. Like, there kind of needs to be, for that strategy to exist, there needs to be something more. I mean, you've got Roiling Terrain, a Johnny Vengeance even, and even, like, Staff of Domination, but that's not even real, like, land destruction. That's mana denial. Pure land destruction does not exist in Standard right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think 1-3 drop would make land destruction insane, but it would give those decks a chance. Like, I mean, I love land destruction just as much as anybody, and which is probably not a lot of people, since it's, like, one of the most hated.
It works. That's the thing. If your opponent can't cast spells, you're usually going to win.
Yeah, like, but the thing is, it's been the last time a legitimate land destruction deck was good was Karsten Bob Baby Killer, which was Cold Snap was legal, and that was only good for a few months. And, like, since then, like, land destruction has just not been a real thing. Like, there was Annex Wildfire decks, but that was really just a control deck that looked to take your lands in late game. You weren't, like, color screwed early or anything. You know, there was the Spreading Seas Cascade deck, but, like, that deck was pretty much poop and, like, could never be an aggro deck. So, like, there hasn't been a lot of, like, dedicated land destruction decks, and I think every once in a while, every few years, it's fine to have one of those come back. So, I mean, I'd be completely fine with them coming up with, like, a 3-mana land destruction card. At the same time, though, they need to print some 2-mana counterspell, like a Mana Leak or something, to be able to combat that a little bit better. Like, basically, you make one mechanic a little cheaper and you need to kind of lower all the mechanics cheaper. But, like, anything to kind of get us away from all these, like, insane creatures. Because all you see right now is just insane creature after insane creature being printed. And I'd be fine with a little bit better spells coming out soon.
Okay. And kind of go along with the promo parade, we have the Duels of the Planeswalkers now out for the PC via Steam. And actually, if you order that we've been told that you will get a free foil promo Nissa Revain.
Ooh!
Kind of like the Xbox Live, you got a Garruk, which I'll probably be giving away.
I think it should be a full art Nissa Revain with text on it to go with the full art Nissa Chosens, because that'd be sick.
That would look cool. And like, what do they care? I guess they have to commission new art, but otherwise, give it to us.
I mean, they don't have to commission new art. They just use the exact same picture, take out the text box, and just write some text over it or whatever.
You'd be happy? That would make you want one of these?
It would make me want one more than I want one now.
So if you multiply 0 times 2, you still have 0.
No, it's like a 0.2 right now.
Okay.
So 0.4, that's a good one.
And the one that has me obviously a little more excited is we have the Release Party promo scheme card for Arch Enemy. And this is Plots That Span Centuries. And let me actually read you this one. It's a scheme, so this is a one-shotter. When you set the scheme in motion, I get a little bit of a chubby every time I read that. The next time you would set a scheme in motion, you set 3 schemes in motion instead. And all the schemes so far have looked pretty cool.
I'm not sure if I'm into this whole Arch Enemy thing yet, but I'll give it a shot.
Well, I of all the emails I got about Arch Enemy, there's a lot like Plinches, there's 2 camps. And it seems a lot of the casual players are very excited. And a lot of tourney players are like, this doesn't excite me. Not that I hate it, but it's just, this is not made for me. And that's understandable. Because this is not going to be a tourney format. You know, get that out of your head. That's not going to happen.
I'm well aware it's not a tourney format, Tom.
I'm telling other people that who have sent me emails.
I have
needs,
too. I like my casual every once in a while.
Now, are you still playing Plane Chase at all? Or are you like me where I've kind of given up on Plane Chase?
Plane Chase lasted about 3 weeks, and then it was a poop format.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, where Plane Chase kind of burned itself out pretty quickly for me.
I mean, I can never even get to the point to build our own decks for the format. We just always used the pre-made decks, and they were fun for a while, but then, you know, they just got really crappy, and like, I mean, I don't know, they stopped supporting it. The first pre-release that came out right afterwards, they gave out one of those Plane Chase cards, like an extra one, and I was like, sweet, and then like, they just stopped doing that. I think that was a really good incentive to show up to pre-releases. But I don't know, maybe they just didn't sell enough and they just wanted to let it die and try this Arch Enemy thing.
Well, let's see. That's the last promo I have. Do we want to talk a little bit about the tournaments that happened this past weekend?
No.
Can I at least say who won them at least, Mom?
Well, no, I'm just sad about Pro Tour San Juan because I scrubbed out.
Yeah, do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience there or anything?
Well,
I don't want to make you sad, but we also want to hear
a little bit at the fact that if you've never been to Puerto Rico, specifically San Juan,
bring baby powder. That's all I can tell you.
Lots of it.
It served me well. If you can imagine the movie Scarface,
Jesus,
and then make everybody speak Spanish all the time, that's what it was. There was people being shot and carjacked and. There was a drug deal. Basically, read my my second part of my tournament report, which will be going up probably tomorrow night, and you will get some inside stories from me. I don't want to give away too many here, but there was it was a little crazy. That's all I got to say. A little crazy. But the Pro Tour itself, we had 15 people in our beach house, and I kept building decks and building decks because everyone was kind of not relying on me, but they were hoping I would break the format. Turns out this format was not really breakable. You basically just had to play a good deck. And I kept building decks, and people would jump on the bandwagon for that deck, and then I would move off it, but they would stay on. So I had about 5 decks in the tournament, like different decks, and you know, we're playing all of them. Nobody really did well. I ended up playing this horrible blue-red deck that I built the night before at like 10 p.m., and it, of course, sucked. I went 1-4 and constructed. And then, the only deck I actually beat was one of my other decks.
Sweet.
I went to draft, and I 3-0'd my draft, kind of. I'll give you some info on that in the article as well. But so I went 4-4 day one, which obviously does not make day two, and I did not get an extra pro point, so it was sad. I did win a time walk in a side event on Sunday, though, so that was good.
Now, can you tell a little more of the story? Is that there was this thing on the Mothership side about you making a deck for Eric Froelich, I think was the name.
Well, yeah, that was my – I played the same deck. That was a GPDC. That was – if you read my first part of my tournament report, you'll see the list. But I played it and he played it. He started off 11-0 actually, and then kind of had like a little bit of a landslide and lost five of his last six, including having to play me in the very first round that it was possible. And I beat him. And I started off 9-2 to his 11. I went 8-1 on day one, but went start off 9-2 and then had some trouble. Like basically, I lost to some buys, some decks that I should just beat, but due to some awkward draws and stuff like that. But I never really fell out of any match. The entire 2 days, and it was the largest Grand Prix I've ever attended. It was actually 17 rounds instead of 15 like normal. And had the tournament ended at the 15 rounds, it would likely be that top eight because my tiebreakers were at like 84% or something, which is insane. But unfortunately, I lost my last two rounds, so I ended up 53rd, which I still got some money and stuff, and it was still pretty good to have a 2,000-person tournament, but not quite what I wanted to do.
Let's see. The couple of their tournaments, we'll just say the winners. We had Grand Prix Sendai, which was in Japan, and Brian Kibler is the winner.
Kibbles and bits.
Yeah, so, and the interesting thing is it says this is only the second time a non-Japanese player has won a Grand Prix in Japan in 14 years.
That's, I mean, Americans just don't travel to Japan for Grand Prix as often as they'd like, because, you know, it's, you're talking about a $1,500 plane ticket to possibly win $3,500. Like, it's very sketchy. Usually you're just going to have the high level pros going. Brian's level 7, so he gets like $250 just for showing up, so it kind of helps a little bit. But yeah, like Brian played next level band, did pretty well. It was pretty stacked top 8. I mean, not much to say about it. And that's his 10th Grand Prix top 8 over the last like 56 years or however old he is.
I don't think he's 56 years old. I will defend.
Yeah, he'd be a little dusty riding on the plane there, Conley.
Remember, he took like a 5-year break or something, like 4-year break off of Magic, and he was top eighting. He top eighted 8 of his Grand Prix, well, like 10 years ago or longer, and then over the last 2 years, has kind of made a comeback. So, yeah.
All right, and then I guess this would also be a next level bant as the Max Williams wins Star City Games Philly Standard Open.
No, that's not next level band.
Even though it has, so I guess explain what's the difference between this and the next level band that Max Williams was playing.
Next level band has a lot of like walls and you bounce your own stuff a lot and stuff like that. You basically are trying to win through Vengevine Zone. Mythic Conscription revolves around the combo between Sovereigns of Lost Alara and Eldrazi Conscription.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically looking to ramp up a lot. You can play like, you know, Baneslayer Angels, you play a lot of Mana Acceleration with Lotus Cobra, Knight of the Reliquary, Noble Hierarch, etc. You can run Vengevine in there, some do, some don't, and then you're ultimately looking just to attack for like 50,000 with a 1-1 or something.
Deck names frustrate me.
Well, yeah, basically one is Mythic Conscription, the other one's Next Level Bant. They're both Bant decks in the fact that they're blue, white, green, but they play out pretty significantly different.
Now, if you had to make a choice, Conley, which one would you play?
I don't really like Mythic because I think it's too draw dependent. You can't really outplay people. At the same time, I think Next Level Bant's good. His new list is way better than the one that they played at DC, I think. So I'd be lean towards that, probably with a few tweaks, just because it's more of a control deck. And Mythic Conscription, you're basically all in on just playing guys and hoping your opponent doesn't do anything about it.
All right, what else do we got in the news this week? The only other, and this is not very exciting, I'll warn you guys, we have the list of all the Duels of the Planeswalkers live decks. So these are the paper decks that we'll be getting.
Oh my gosh, I'm gripping my armchair right now. And
I'm laughing baby powder as we speak.
you got it prepared. You have your 6-month supply next to your desk.
You're just going to have to loan me some, Conley. I'm not sure I can make it to the store.
And we will be giving away one of these. Jessica, who is a very nice contact at the PR firm, will be sending us some review decks for this that we'll then give away. So you get a booster pack with that. Remember that. That's probably the best thing I can say about them. I still feel like they missed the boat by not putting a Planeswalker in these.
Yeah, I think you need to have a Planeswalker in each one or some semi-chase bears. Like, these, they just seem really poopy.
Yeah, you need something to kind of get people excited for it, I guess. Guys, that's the news I have. Do you have any other news before we go on to our emails and whatnots? Baby Potter tips?
Well, I've kind of been away from Magic, but I attended the Charlotte Heroes convention this weekend. That was kind of interesting.
Is this like Heroes the TV show?
Yes, and I actually had to wear tights, Tom, and it was quite a like interesting about. No. Actually, it was a giant like comic book convention, and it was really interesting. I got to meet Mike Mignola, who's creator of Hellboy. let's see here, Ben Templesmith, who gave me like these weird bedroom eyes when I walked up to him. Other than that, I honestly have not looked at Magic in 2 weeks. I feel very ashamed of myself.
Yeah, Jack, we don't even want you on the show.
Yeah, you showed up. If you hadn't, if I knew you weren't playing Magic, I probably would not have actually added you to the call.
Man, I'm sorry. I'll go, guys.
It's
go.
Too late now. We're 35 some minutes into this thing. So
yeah, and people have already got addicted to my voice. So I mean,
they did. Yeah.
They've done something about a dick with your voice.
Wow. That's too great to put in the show title, but that's good. I should
God, Conley's just keeping his pimp hand strong on this episode.
I'm scared of him. I'm
a little
scared of him.
The Lakers won, everybody. That's why I'm bummed. I'm sorry that I'm a little upset. We got screwed over by the refs. They literally bent us over and didn't even use a condom. It was just rude.
Does Shaq still play for the Lakers?
Like, give a big bro hug to each other and we'll be over it.
Shaq has not played for the Lakers for like 6 years.
Is he still playing?
Yeah, he plays for the Cavs, if you want to call it playing. He basically stands there and looks old.
Because basketball's on my mind, because I watched Saturday Night Live this weekend, and Charles Barkley was the host.
That's an old one. That's the one with, I like the girl that tries to act sexy, but then screws everything up. Yeah, Sheila, I think, or something like that.
If it was, that would explain why the news was so old. So that does make more sense.
It's hilarious, though. She's like, she's trying to act sexy and talk about how she's going to eat strawberries, but then she's like, and then the seeds get caught in my colon and I make gross little farts. It's like, that's hilarious. Watch it.
Charles Barkley is pretty damn funny in that, actually.
Yeah,
I was
but he
impressed.
Can't act to save his life.
Yeah, but he was still somewhat entertaining. I kind of liked him.
It's true.
Him about his golf swing, apparently, which is just well known to be just ridiculous. They had an entire skit about his golf swing.
That's what started the Haney Project, which is a TV show on the Golf Channel where they literally just try to improve Charles Barkley's golf swing. They have now moved on to other celebrities, but Charles Barkley has the worst golf swing of all time.
Oh, wow. All right, guys. Any decks you want to talk about before we move on to what we're going to be doing? We're not going to do this week, but for next week, we're going to retool what you've been playing a little bit. We can talk about current decks, but in case we haven't been playing some Magic, say it like Jack. We can talk. I'm not going to name names. I'm pointing at you. Is that we can actually talk about some of our favorite decks of all time. So it doesn't have to be a current standard deck or extended, whatever it is. You can just about a deck like, hey, I had this deck. I still play it or I loved it. I want to talk about it today.
Ooh, I think I'll enjoy that, Tom.
So we're going to open this up so we can just have a little bit more match because people actually like to hear about our pet decks. I said decks. With an E.
I heard you.
Okay, cool. Okay, good. I knew where your mind was going.
Well, I have no pets to speak of there, Tom, so.
Yeah, I have one, but yeah, it's a she. Or technically.
Animals have a really bad habit of dying on me.
Yeah, this one, I think she's like 17. She looks like she's dead in her little bed, but she's actually breathing. Let me double check.
Fuck her with a stick.
Nope. She has a fupa, but yes, no. Have you guys, either of you guys ever had cats? You ever notice that they always get that, we called it the jungle pouch? They get like that fupa thing that hangs down when they get older?
The extra skin or whatever?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to get so much hate mail, but I'm just not a big cat fan. Like, I like kittens, but that's about it. Like, I don't know.
It's part of like how you're raised. Like, I was raised, we had a lot of different types of pets, but we always had, you know, at least two cats.
I had cats too, but like, I like the cats that act like dogs and not the cats that act like bitches.
Well, then I will send you, my cat is like a small dog.
Like, I hate the cats that, like we're too good for you. We're only here because you're giving us free food, and we could actually care less about you, and we're just going to ignore you. Like, I hate those cats. But, like, the cats you could actually call and like, play with them and stuff, those cats are cool. I'm just not into, like, the arrogant Garfield cats.
You need to get a right.
The ones that come over and, like, knock your drinks over off the table and look at you and clean it up.
Cats. We had an awesome cat growing up, and then she got old and upset at us and then started throwing up on all my items that I owned.
You have to get a rag doll. Those are the coolest cats.
But like I like big floppy friendly dogs that love to lick peanut butter.
Off of whatever you I imagine you like training with like pretzel sticks and like moving up to like bread sticks and just
and they even like scent of baby powder, so
God, you are just revolting.
So Conley, it's been a long, lonely like ride to San Juan and back. I've taken it.
Yeah, actually, they upgraded me to first class on the way back.
Now, so was this 40-year-old lady that I was reading about with her condom and like sexual innuendo? Was she just attracted to baby powder? Like, why did she talk to you?
It was the most disturbing conversation I've ever had in my life, and I have to thank that stewardess for getting me out of that jam. It was.
Was she trying to pick you up, or was she just being weird?
I don't know. She was easily like 43, 44 years old, fairly overweight,
a cougar?
Wrinkled, and like you could just tell she was like a traveling by herself and just asking me the most absurd things, and I don't know.
She's going to be traveling by herself, but not for long, kind of. Yeah,
did she have like that recent divorcee kind of must to her?
Maybe, I don't know. Basically, if you want to read more, go read my article on Channel Fireball, and that's all I got.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just looking at browsing now that we have a like scary, pseudo-erotic Hollywood story going
on. Yeah, it's like the first four paragraphs, basically. Read those and you will get the story.
Yeah, and it's just going to be highlighted and cut out, and the title's going to be Conley's Real Bus Fare.
By the way, the title from my article doesn't make any sense until part two, so if you're wondering why it's Water Under the Bridge, it will make sense more in part two.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering if it was going to have something to do with the Ziploc bag of condoms. You know, so I'm not sure what you did with this lady after the plane.
I didn't do anything. I got my seat moved, and I...
I'm waiting until I read part two.
There's no... That was literally the flight from Denver to Cincinnati. I did not see that lady again. But
not yet. Don't look out your window.
Cliffhanger. I may or may not have bumped into her in the streets of San Juan.
All right, guys. Should we go through some emails?
Yeah, let's.
I'm going to let Conley cool down because I know he's getting a little worked up just thinking back to these adventures. All right. Let's see. We'd love to get emails. You can email me at pitimp, P-I-T-I-M-P at mtgcast.com. Conley, you are Conley at mtgcast.com. And Jack, imaginatively enough, you are Jack at mtgcast.com.
It's not changed into you never show up on the cast when you say you're going to at mtgcast.com?
I haven't said anything. I said it tonight before you showed up, but then you showed up.
I must say, like, you were awfully respectful of me, Tom, and that's why we're e-friends.
Let's see. Jack T, we want all the listeners to check out his new Nerdcore webcomic called Derp Sandwich. So DERPSandwich.com. He says it will soon have some magic-themed cartoons. I admit I've read it. I don't understand it, but it's also somewhat entertaining. So I'll have everybody check it out and see if you understand it better than I do.
If you change red to use, you'll be describing baby powder.
Yeah.
I use it, I don't understand it, but it's also entertaining.
But it works, and I can't stop using it now. It's almost a compulsion. Nathan W., he wanted to agree that he also loves Stang and has an EDH deck that features Stang. And he agrees with our idea of having, instead of doing what we're playing right now, to go over our favorite decks of all time. He thought that sounded like a cool idea. Let's see. I got this kind of random email about a new role-playing game online portal that's going to be also having some collectible card game and magic coverage. It's called, I believe it was RPG Zorg, I think it was. Yes, RPG Zorg. Or the URL is rpgz.org. So I'm mismentioning because it looks like they are going to be having some magic coverage. So just let people know of another place out there. What else we got? Tony C. want to correct me that the game Portal was not really made by the company Valve. They actually hired the students out of DigiPen, which is Nintendo's college in Washington State. They actually made the game, and they kind of hired them to publish the game. So thank you for the correction. Peter A., he is a more of a tourney-centric player, and he is not that excited for Arch Enemy. He sees it as being gimmicky. But he agrees that he loves the Beastmaster's Ascension as just being an awesome card in multiple different formats. And Conley, at Pro Tour San Juan, I was trying to follow this, but Beastmaster's Ascension kind of made its breakout at PT San Juan.
Yeah, I wrote about it in my set review, and I said I thought Beastmaster's Ascension was highly playable and good, but it didn't really do much until recently. But it was quite good at San Juan, just as like an overrun effect. So
let's see. And he also sent in we were kind of talking about some Amazon.com oddities last time. So he sent another one. This is for just a link to a t-shirt called the Mountain Three Wolf Moon t-shirt. And the webpage is just amazing. It's like it's a Napoleon Dynamite shirt where it shows these three wolves like howling at a moon on a t-shirt. But if you look at this thing, it has over 1,700 customer reviews.
That's a lot.
Yes. And the most, people can actually rank how helpful a review is. I'm going to read you the first one because it's been rated by 19,685 people as being useful.
Wow.
That's insane. So this is for the Three Wolf Moon short sleeve t-shirt. This item has wolves on it, which makes it intrinsically sweet and worth five stars by itself. But once I tried it on, that's when the magic happened. After checking to ensure that the t-shirt would properly cover my wide girth, I walked from my trailer to Walmart with the shirt on and was immediately approached by women. The women knew from the wolves on my shirt that I, like a wolf, am a mysterious loner who knows how to, quote, howl at the moon from time to time, if you catch my drift. The woman that approached me wanted to know if I would be their boyfriend and or give them money for something they called meth. I told them no, because they didn't have enough teeth, and frankly, a man with a wolf t-shirt wouldn't settle for the first thing that comes to him. I arrived at Walmart, mounted my courtesy scooter. Walking is such a drag. Sitting side saddle so that my wolves would show. While I was browsing tube socks, I could hear aroused, asthmatic breathing behind me. I turned around to see a slightly sweaty Dream in sweatpants and flip-flops standing there. She told me she liked the wolves on my shirt. I told her I wanted to howl at her moon. She offered me a swig from her Mountain Dew, and I drove my scooter with her shuffling alongside out the door and into the rest of our lives. Thank you, Wolf Shirt. Pros. Fits my girthy frame, has wolves on it, attracts women. Cons. Only three wolves. Cannot see wolves when sitting with arms crossed. Wolves would have been seen better if they glowed in the dark.
Wow.
And that review has 238 comments.
There's some epic trolling on the internet. I tell you what.
Like, it's amazing how much of the stuff is on Amazon. I wanted to say thank you to our MTGCast listeners for bringing this to my attention.
Do you know another ridiculous product I heard about recently? Have you heard of Revenge Crabs?
I'm guessing where you're going with this, but I've not specifically heard of this.
You can literally go, I think it's like revengecrabs.com or something like that. And you can literally purchase crabs to put on your partner as a breakup thing or one you've recently broken up with and give your partner crabs.
Yes. Yeah, but what if you get crabs off of that? Like, what if in the heat of the argument, you're like, oh, have your way with me.
They send you a vial that kills the crabs, so if you do get it on yourself, because they say one of the best ways to transfer it is actually to infect yourself, have sex with your partner, give them crabs, and then cure your own. But, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. They have, like, different color crab packages that come with more potent crabs, and, like, it's ludicrous.
Yeah, it's you are actually telling the truth. It's revengecrabs.com, and it is about getting crabs, which you know, pupa glaze, that you can then give to your ex. That is bizarre.
You spend you spend like $30, $50, or $70 or something like that.
Yeah, and I want to shop them crabs. How much does this
cost? They give you they give you like details about how to like sprinkle it in their bed or like. It's all kind of, it's really weird. It's like the worst thing you could do to your partner.
Their poster girl is a girl with a giant crab on her crotch.
Yep.
I feel like I'm watching hentai all over again.
I'm pretty sure this is used in frat houses much more than to gear X, but whatever.
Okay, so to get the bronze package, which has as many as 50 individual, and if anybody doesn't know, pupa glaze or crabs, they lay their eggs at the base of the hair shaft. Because I've had to treat these before. Not in myself, let me specify that.
Okay. Yeah, testimonials.
Yeah, the testimonials are hilarious, but like they don't actually like injure you permanently. It's not like herpes or something, but like you basically get bad scratches and rashes and stuff.
Yeah, and you can get in. Wow, standard shipping is $4.99, but to get same day service with overnight shipping, that's $59 extra. So if you really want to give somebody crabs in a hurry, that's going to cost you. Wow, the gold package is almost $300.
Oh, gosh, listen to this. When the scratches first came, I thought it was because I'd been slumming, but then I know it's because my girl's old man is a cop and he tracked me, so he doused my car with crabs. I'd be mad about it, but that's some sweet payback. Tyler D., Toronto, Ontario. I'm mad at you, but dude, that was awesome.
Wow.
Crap. Let's find another one. Hold on. I wasn't sure if my boyfriend was cheating on me, so I brought some crabs and gave put them on him. That's actually what they grammatically said.
You're right.
One night after sex. Sure enough, less than a week later, name redacted. From my office, couldn't hardly sit for 5 minutes with all the itching she had. Thanks, Revenge Crabs. You confirmed my suspicions.
Wow, that's like forensic Revenge Crabs. That is awesome.
Wait. Let's find another one. Let's see. Do we have time for one more, Tom?
Yes, we do. This is my show, and we've already lost everybody after the baby powder discussion at the beginning of the show.
We've been talking about revenge.
Yeah, 5 minutes of the show, they heard Tom talking about balls. I was dead. Okay. I was once a whimpering housemaid of a wife, but when my exciting, though less wealthy, husband continued his all-night parties and attending of raves, I knew something might be up.
I peppered his boxer briefs with crabs and even thought he never said anything about the ungodly itching we both suffered. We did get a ton of hang-up calls in the week that followed, and he started hitting me up for his party money again. Thanks, Revenge Crabs. If it wasn't for you guys, all your crabs would still have to wonder about what's going on, and he wouldn't have had to find a whole new batch of pigeons to run around with. Like, you know who I feel bad for? What if there's just some guy who, like, has picked up a third shift job, right?
Yeah.
Because he's trying to save money to get by his wife something wonderful. And then the wife is like, obviously he's cheating on me because I'm a jealous harpy.
Why is it when I'm always trying to save money, I get horrific genital itching? It just doesn't make sense.
And the guy's just sitting there and he's scratching himself and he's like, I know I should go to a doctor about this, but I've been looking at that opal for Betty for quite some time. And, well, she's worth it.
So do you guys think would your mom be disappointed if your card said you were a retail crab life specialist, like it says on their website?
Yeah, that can't be a good resume.
When I told both my parents I wanted to be a writer, I think they were just disappointed enough and were like, you know what, we love you. That's fine.
And it says here they have an actual link to school field trips. If you're an elementary or a middle school teacher in upstate New York,
why would you have field trips to the craft factory?
It says,
on a bed?
Unlike other field trips, we never charge admission for students or teachers, and our parking is always convenient and ample.
I'm pretty sure the name of the show has to be like Magic and Genitals or something like that.
I think it's going to be Baby Powder and Revenge Crabs. We're just keeping this simple.
Oh my god, if you were going into the place, like, you would have to be suited up in a giant rubber suit.
Yeah, don't scratch your eyes. You can get pupil glass on your eyelashes. You know, anywhere there's hair, you can get this.
Wait, no. I just had a brilliant idea. Like, Conley, for the baby powder you're going to be sponsoring, right?
Put crabs in the baby powder.
Yeah. No, even better. We could have, like, Revenge Crabs doing their commercial, and then Conley swings around in the parking lot in his smoking jacket. And he's like, and when you're ready to make up, try Conley Woods' How Deep Do These Woods Go baby powder.
And my collection of little fine tooth combs.
Do you see that little slogan? It says, watching them itch and burn is half the fun. Order today.
And guys, I mean, this kind of sells to me for the school field trips. They also said, check out our scared abstinent tours as well. It's a great way to combine your own twisted fetish and a Saturday out with the girls of a church youth group.
Man, I'm sure this podcast is going to be entertaining to the listeners, but there was, like, no magic content anywhere.
It was kind of a slow week. I mean, a little bit.
It's all right.
So, well, should we go through a few more emails before we go back to Revenge Crabs for the rest of the show?
Okay. Yeah, definitely. And ironically, Revenge Crabs is also the name of our B-movie horror recommendation this week.
Andy Y, he said he was happy to hear from Chewy, the talk of Valve, and the talk of weighted companion cubes in the last episode. You're welcome, Andy. Jose, he's looking for help with his blue-red Jora of the G2 Suspend deck for EDH. So he just wants to hear from people. He's using stuff like Jora's Time Bug, Clock Spinning, Paradox Haze, Hearthstone, and Training Grounds. He just wants to get some emails from listeners with more card ideas. Let's see. Wolfgang liked the last episode with Tom, Chewy, and Marcel. He also wanted me to put up a picture of my Halloween costume, which I did not do. What else do we got here? Amdoka, he sent in a deck that had Bloodbred Elf, Spreading Seas, and Warp World. And he also wanted to agree with you, Conley, that I think we mentioned this a few episodes ago, that Spreading Seas is in a lot of ways a format-defining card.
Yeah, it's probably the best blue card in the standard right now, which is awkward and insane at the same time. Jace is obviously really good, but more decks play Spreading Seas, or more decks play more Spreading Seas than they do Jace, which is a little strange, but...
And I'm getting little messages from Jack, who keeps trying to tell me to read the...
Just click the link.
I don't see the forum link.
And then, okay, well, I'll find the forum link for you, and then
is this
have
a Crabs Club? Are you done with the Crabs
Club? No, this is worse than Crabs Club, okay? So, hold on. Let me just send this to you, and you can prepare to be blind. There you go.
For everyone freaking out about the cost of cards, you do have to admit that things like Spreading Seas, Bloodbraid Elf, Path to Exile, these are some of the best cards in the format, and they're common and uncommon. So, I mean, there is some saving grace there. Like, Wall of Omens is uncommon. You know, you have Trilands and Blightning, and, you know, all these really, really good cards are common and uncommon. So, like, while there are these mythics that are, you know, $7,500, like, at least there are, you know, a lot of support spells that are at least fairly cheap.
Well, dare I say it? I mean, Conley, you're a good example, too, of how, like, these spells that people don't tend to traditionally think of that are cheap and good can be used, like Magical Christmas Land, for example.
Yeah, there was. I mean, Magical Christmas Land had Lotus Covers, but at the time it was, you know, $12 card. Nobody was running it. Had Fetch Lands is probably the most expensive card other than that. And then, you know, besides that, I was running Commons and Mole Chambler and then Acidic Slime and Goblin Rune Blaster. Violent Ultimatum was maybe $1 at the time. Rampaging Baylos might have been a couple bucks. But, like, the deck on the whole was fairly cheap. And, you know, I don't expect everyone to be able to think in the exact same ways that I think just because, you know, I kind of do it for a living, so I put a lot more time and effort into it. But at the same time, like, if you do dig deep enough, you can find some obscure interactions, obscure cards that are cheap or, you know, they're going on the up and up. So you can get cards when they are not that expensive and then, you know, hold on to them for a while and all of a sudden they're worth a bunch of money. Like, if you had Beastmaster's Ascensions, like, they're already up, like, $5 or what they were 2 weeks ago, so...
Now, Conley, can I ask you a question right quick? Like, have you ever just looked at a card and gone, man, this is amazing. Why does nobody play it?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, one of the decks I was going to talk about in the one of my favorite decks ever was a blue-red Trash for Treasure deck that I played in my first ever Grand Prix before I'd ever done a PTQ or anything. I took 10th on Tiebreakers. Had a virtual top 8, but Trash for Treasure was one of those cards I was like, you know, Tinker is insane and banned and, you know, restricted and all these other formats, and Trash for Treasure is, you know, not quite as good, but it's still pretty insane, and yet not a single person's using it, and kind of ran that with Wildfire and Cloud Post Lands and, you know, had a blue-red Urzatron deck effectively, and, you know, it did extremely well for me, so... there are definitely some cards you just look at and you're like, you know, I can't believe nobody's using this. Like, Abyssal Persecutor has been that way for a while now. It's starting to get some love, but that's just a card that's so breakable and just so many people just don't want to play it just because there's, you know, proven cards like Baneslayer Angel that are, you know, going to do good for you no matter what. And while Abyssal Persecutor has the potential to be as good or better than a Baneslayer Angel, it takes work in figuring out the interactions and the decks and stuff. So a lot of people kind of, you know, go the lazy route a little bit and just play what they know.
Yeah.
But, like, Abyssal Persecutors, like a $15, $20 card, and I think, like, that's a card right now I would pick it up because once Shards rotates, I think it's going to be $30 or $40. It's a mythic. It's, you know, nobody's drafting the format anymore, and all this really insane removal leaves the format, and, you know, you get to play it with, you know, Gatekeeper Malakirs and Consuming Vapors and Momentous Falls and all these cards. They're just really insane with it, so... Like, that's a card if you just keep
Momentous drawing. Falls and Abyssal Persecutor, that is nice.
Yeah, I almost played that for my block deck, but I didn't. But, like, I mean, just keep your eye out for stuff like that. Pick up these cards while they're on the cheap, and then, you know, they get expensive, and you can turn around and sell them if you don't want them, or hold on to them. And if you do sell them, then you can afford your Jaces and your Elspeths and things like that. So, you know, there are ways to get ahead of the game. You just have to keep your eyes open and focused.
Let's see. And next we have, actually, this kind of rolls into Conley. You were asking about maybe getting some graphic designers to help out. This is from Nicocristo. He actually did some very nice logos for Monday Night Magic and also for MTG Cast. He's a graphic designer. He sent in just a tip on the art for Admonition Angel. If you look at in the stained glass on the full art, there's actually the full art design for Amiria Angel is the art on the stained glass and Admonition Angel. Because both of the cards are done by the same artist, which I thought was pretty cool. I wasn't sure how many cards are in Magic that are really self-referential to other cards directly in their art like this.
I mean, there's some, obviously. Is that supposed to be a Myriad Angel on the glass, or is it?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a Myriad Angel. It's kind of tough, you have to sort of zoom it in, but it does look like a Myriad Angel. I will agree 100%.
Yeah, definitely does, you're right.
And next, this was actually a thing that Marcel brought up in our last episode about interesting ways... for maybe as cheaper ways to get full sets of cards. And this was, Marcel had noticed that often to get a full play set of cards in MTGO was cheaper than to get a physical paper card set. So Richard T. confirmed this. He took a look at the prices on Star City Games and then also the price then on Card Hoarder. And he said this was on Star City Games so that they had them in stock. A full set of Rise of Eldrazi would be $250, and then a full place would be $950. If you would go through Card Hoarder and bought all of the cards individually, you'd be looking at $155 for a full set or $621 for a full play set. So for a full play set, that's a $300-some-dollar difference. If you were just to buy them digitally and then cash them in for the paper cards, which I thought was fascinating. So just something, you know, for people who are looking to get a lot of cards, this might be an interesting way to do it on a lower budget. Let's see, Nathan A., he sent in a combo of Reassembling Skeletons and Attrition, which I have to admit I do like that one.
What does Attrition do?
Attrition was a 2 black and a colorless. I think it was Urza's Legacy it first came out. It's the one with the little beaker expansion symbol. 2 black and a colorless.
Yeah,
I believe it's a black, and you have to sacrifice a creature, and then target player sacrifices a creature. But until I say too much, let me pull up the exact text.
It's destroy target non-black creature.
There it is. So black, sacrifice creature, destroy target non-black creature. Thank you.
And that is a good combo. There are also a whole bunch of things where you can make people discard. And there's a whole bunch of combos with sacrificing creatures. So that guy, you know, even with like something like Sark in the Mad is pretty insane.
Yeah, it just seems like a very cool card. I mean, it's an uncommon, well-designed card.
I mean, it's very similar to something like George Skeletons, and yet it's way more constructed playable, so I like when they kind of think outside the box. And I would assume, with it being printed, that George Skeletons will not be printed, but you never know.
Which I think is pretty valid by this point. I mean,
yeah.
Unless you have a Dreadbear now or something, there's really no reason to ever play a George Skeleton, I guess.
I mean, George Skeletons is better defensive most of the time, since this guy can only block every two turns, but, you know, this guy just more constructed uses, like I was saying.
And next we have Mike wonders if Contaminated Ground would ever see some play in black decks based on the popularity of Spreading Seas. I think since you don't draw a card, it's kind of a no.
Yeah, it's much worse because you don't draw a card, but at the same time, people have played, you know, anyone want to help me out? The one you can make it any basic land?
Convincing Mirage.
Convincing Mirage. And, you know, this is basically strictly better than Convincing Mirage. I think the problem with it is that the deck that gets hurt by Spreading Seas the most is Jund, and Contaminated Ground does not hurt Jund in the same way because it gives him black mana. Like, granted, you can put on a Savage Lands and get two colors of theirs, but you're still giving them a color that is helpful, at least.
Okay.
So it might see play in the future, but it probably won't see play until Shards rotates out. It's still fine to deal with a man land, though.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really interesting. I wonder if when they were doing the R&D for the set, if they really saw Spreading Seas as being a format-defining card, or if it really kind of came out of left field.
I'm sure they didn't expect it to be a format-defining card. This is really the first time that that type of effect has ever been playable. So, I mean, it's been printed a lot, and nobody's ever played it, down to, like, Fish Liver Oil or whatever. Oh. I guess that one gives Island Walk.
That's Island Walk, I say. I remember
there,
Fish.
There's one that turns into, like, the same mana. It's, like, Seas of something. I don't know. But basically, this is the first time that kind of effect has ever seen play.
And last but not least for my emails is Brad R. He sent in this very disturbing link to a picture of Patrick Stewart at the age of 18 playing a character called Oberon. This was to, I guess, give me more evidence that he actually was a sex symbol at least at some point in his life. And the link is there in the show notes, and it's somewhat disturbing to look at. He's clothed. I mean, you can see nipples, which is, I think, acceptable for guy pictures.
Oh, double standard, eh, Tom?
Yep.
Yeah.
You can't put baby powder on those boys. Well, I guess you could.
You're sicking me.
But, yep, that is Patrick Stewart with a whole lot of hair, which is probably the most disturbing part of the picture. He's wearing a leather diaper, and he has a lot of hair.
50s, it was probably sexy.
Very muscly, though, too. He has nicer legs than I would have thought for Patrick Stewart. That's all the emails I got, guys. Do you have any that you want to share?
No.
Absolutely not, Tom. Don't be silly. Next week, when I have all the Baby Potter emails, I'll have lots.
Well, no, just the emails I get, like, you tend to get the show emails, and I get, like, personal emails that I either never respond to because I don't have time, or that I do respond to, but they're, like, personal stuff.
Yeah, because you never respond to a lot of the personal emails I sent you, actually. I sent you a good luck one right before Pro Tour San Juan.
I didn't have internet during the entire week I was down there. That's why I did not turn in my articles, so don't blame them.
Stiff.
It was sucked. Our power went out. Just read the article that's going to go up tomorrow. It's insane.
This show makes so much more sense tomorrow, guys. Tomorrow.
I was kidnapped.
Locked in a trunk. They lathered him in baby powder.
That's just Saturday night. And that's as usual. He just baby powders himself and locks himself in the trunk and sees how long it takes to get back out.
That's not what happened. I was legitimately kidnapped.
Are you being serious that you're actually kidnapped?
I was kind of kidnapped. Like,
how can you be kind of kidnapped, Conley? I mean, do they just like hit you over the head and they're like, no...
I went willingly, but it was not what I was told it was going to be, so I ended up spending the night in the rainforest when I did not want to, and I lost out on a whole bunch of time of testing, and it was just awkward.
And this will be fully explained in your article tomorrow.
Yes, it's going to be a pretty long article. Expect to be like 3,000 words of like stories, not a bunch of magic, because my magic was so crappy. Oh, I mean, it'll all be magic-centric, of course.
Kind of like this podcast, huh?
There's some stories about one Heine Wesco. Let's just say Craig Wesco, when he gets a Heineken in him, only one, he turns into, I'll save that one too, but he turns into something that's not human.
I'm curious, like a werewolf, the sort of thing?
No, like, there may or may not have been some racial slurs.
Oh, I didn't know, like, it's like some guys have, I mean, a lot of times it seems like when you put alcohol into a person, they become kind of their, what they want to be inside themselves.
Oh, it was only one Heineken, though. He was picking up hookers. It was crazy.
Wow.
This is what Wizards of the Coast is like. What do we want to have our pro tour known for? Heineken and hookers.
Hookers.
There we go.
No, H&H. He was drunk. Obviously it's not going to be on the main coverage or whatever. I'm not even going to rat him out completely in my article, but it was quite the hilarious night.
Is this going to be your Channel Fireball article? So I know you write for different sites.
Yeah, my TCG Player article will be a follow-up to the information about my Grand Prix deck with, like, matchups and some new takes on the deck and things like that.
Alrighty.
Well, I should have actually two articles for both sites this week, by the way.
So. Oh, wow. So you're going to have lots of stuff up.
Yep. I'm not going to have a life this week.
Well, at least this will make your baby powder budget go a little bit farther this week.
I know. I'll be able to buy 3 years worth.
Is baby powder, is that something that they... It's basically talc powder. That's something you actually have to mine out of the earth, right?
I don't know.
I mean, there's no talc trees.
Would you like me to go get my baby powder and read the ingredients?
I'm pretty sure it's mostly talc. As far as I understand, talc is something that's mined from the earth. I want to know where talc comes from.
It's the tears of babies. That's why it's so soft.
Yeah. You have to mine baby alligators and then cut their tails off. And then as they cry, you put that in sunlight and it hardens into a powder. Then you break it up in a blender and pass it through a baby child's bloodstream. And then as it comes out the other side, it is now baby powder.
Yes. That's really it. I was going to, like, you know, when they have the paint can triggers, that's like orphan teeth. But you went way past that.
Just telling you the facts, Dom. That's all I'm here for, the facts.
Wow. MTG Cast News, guys. We're getting to the end because we've offended pretty much everybody.
Yeah, now you can take your class on a field trip to both Revenge Crabs and the place where they make baby powder and stream alligator tails through young infants.
It sounds so much not as bad as you're thinking it sounds like right now. So, want to say our clan is approved for MTG Cast. So, if you want to join our clan, I think you just have to message me on MTGO. So, the clan is going to be called MTG Cast Clan. Very, very imaginative. And to message me, I am Gust0208. Also very imaginative.
I am CRCCon81. So, CRCCON81. Although, I think I'm going to change my name and just make a Conley account so everyone knows who I am.
Yeah, it's probably a little more straightforward.
Yeah, also, I don't know if I agree with this whole Klan thing, Tom. You're basically supporting segregation, and that's never a good thing. So,
right. Separate but equal?
All I'm saying is it doesn't really work out too much anymore.
Yeah, I will guarantee there will be zero burning crosses in MTG Cast Clan. It's right there. Now that you brought that up, it does sound bad when I say MTG Cast Clan. So I'm mad at you for that.
Sounds horrible.
We're here for the preservation of our listeners.
It actually makes me feel uncomfortable to say the name of our clan now, so thank you.
Well, I'm all saying is I just think that some people might be offended. Particularly.
So maybe with the clan coming around now and, like, you know, us marching and whatnot to have our clan up, we could, like, actually sell some of our t-shirts.
Yeah, because I think I've sold, like, a total of 3 t-shirts so far.
Oh, also, since I kind of hinted at this business venture, I am interested if anyone knows of anything to make card sleeves that are tournament legal that have specific designs on them, which is another reason I need a graphic designer, and play mats. I'm sure I can investigate that one on my own, but, you know, any tips would be nice. And I'll probably make some shirts, too. So keep your eyes open for some MTG Cast-related Conley Woods t-shirts.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
They'll be for my company, but you'll definitely know that they're from me.
Okay, cool. Is it gonna just have your big face in the back? Like, I mean,
or are they gonna have like the art where you were a Girl Scout?
Yeah.
That's what it's gonna be.
That one, like that eating the bucket of poo one that I was a personal favorite.
My friend literally calls me up the other day. He's like, I just Googled your name and in the images, the first thing is you wearing a Girl Scout thing, badge thing.
Really? Like, that's hot. I'm doing it right now. Conley Woods and images.
You have to quotations it, obviously, you never Googled a name before.
Oh, yeah, because if I don't do it without the quotes, I only get one picture of you as a...
If you do it in quotes, the fourth thing down is images for Conley Woods, and there's, like, me with Brian David Marshall, then the second one is me wearing a Girl Scout sash.
That's awesome.
I'm going to do my name now.
All right, guys. The last but not least is the... Our contest from two episodes ago, the send in a picture of your card collection where you play Magic, is officially closed. What I am going to do is I'm taking 1 week to choose winners. The reason is I had planned to give away two Gideon Juras, but we had too many good entries to limit it to just two prizes. So I'm going to be picking out probably another 4 to 5 prizes. These will be around the range of like either a dual land or a Garruk Wild Speaker, something like this, because there's 4 to 5 other good entries that I need to give a prize to. I haven't picked those yet, so I don't want to say names.
By the way, people, Gideon Jira is up to like $1 million. You're getting huge monies here.
Well, how much are they now? Because when I got them, they were, I think, 50 is what I paid to get these ones for the giveaway.
1 second. I will tell you after I look it up.
Because I admit I'm not my
Star hand City. Star City is selling them for $60 a piece and is out of stock.
Oh, there we go. So you're getting a good deal. Because I'm glad I bought these when we announced the contest. So.
Yeah, and like I'm guaranteed they will be going up, especially once cards like Elspeth rotate out, because Gideon will be the best white Planeswalker at that point. I'm actually curious to see what Planeswalkers they print in M11. So if any readers want to chime in with, or listeners want to chime in with their ideas there, because it would make sense for them just to reprint the originals, but at the same time, they're eventually going to have to probably print some other ones, and I would guess from here on out, we're going to have one of each color Planeswalker in core sets. So it'd be interesting to see if they're willing to do like Elspeth instead of a Johnny Goldmane, or like, you know, a different Chandra. I think they'll probably just do Chandra and Nalar, but like Liliana might become Sore and things like that. Just, it's interesting to see what they're going to start doing now with more options in their Planeswalker slot.
And I didn't know if they were going to avoid the Planeswalkers that had multiple personalities, whatever you want to call it. Just so they don't confuse new, because theoretically this is a set for newer players.
I mean, probably not, right? Like, they did reprint a Johnny Goldmane after Johnny Vengeance was out, and Jace has two personalities now. Like, there aren't actually a lot that don't. Like, Garruk obviously doesn't, but I mean, I don't think there's even, I guess, Elspeth you could do for white, but there's not, you could do Tezzeret for blue. That just doesn't seem like a core card. Like, Tezzeret does not seem like something in the core set.
True.
Although, I guess, if Scars of Mirrodin's coming out, maybe they want to reprint him. You never know.
Guys, we are at the, Tezzeret would be perfect for Scars of Mirrodin, so I would cross my fingers for, like, a new Tezzeret variant. That would be awesome.
I don't know if they're going to do new Planeswalkers in a core set, though. I guess they're not going to.
I guess I hadn't thought about that. That'd be a way to sell packs, but I guess if you're putting Baneslayer and stuff in there, you're not going to have to worry about that.
Yeah, Baneslayer and Duels will sell packs by themselves, and they're going to have some sweet cards. Like, I'm sure you've read the rumors about the new Baneslayer-esque dragon they're going to print.
Yeah, well, I've had two emails in the last 2 weeks from a listener in Holland telling us about, you know, that they had heard rumors about what they called the new Shyvan dragon, which was kind of the different version of the Baneslayer. Had protection from Sphinx and I can't remember what the other protection from Sphinx and something that had, I think, flying, first strike, and haste, if I remember correct, or something like that.
Well, I didn't. Did you talk about the intro packs already for M10 or M11?
Just a little bit, but not a ton.
Well, because you can see, like, there's some, like, white Arbiter, and then there's, like, a blue Sphinx that's, like, Conundrum Sphinx or something, and then, like, then Captivating Vampire we know about, and then there's the crazy Hellkite. See, this is the only thing, is like the art for this Hellkite looks insane, and it's in a core set, so, or in an intro pack, so like the chances of that being a Baneslayer-esque card is limited by the fact that it's in a core set.
And in an intro deck, too, because they don't want these people to be upset. They're everywhere.
For Overwhelming Stampede is what I'm guessing this card is, and it looks like a giant rhino.
Okay. All right, guys, I think we have assaulted our listeners with enough talk of are we done talking about Revenge Crabs? I still have the link up. This still amazes me.
I'm done. I'm sure Jack's not, but I'm done. I'm good.
No, I'm finished. And I don't even want to talk about Bad Dragon at this point.
I didn't mean to open that can of crabs.
No, I'm sharing this with my coworkers this week, because this is amazing.
Whoa, what do you mean by you sharing it with your coworkers?
You take that whichever way you think it is. They'd be like, Tom, I don't believe that website exists.
Right now.
You're putting in your credit card information as we speak, or are you just giving them the website?
Hope you washed your hands after you used that toilet seat. Just saying.
Oh. Well, Tom, I thought the link I sent you would be relevant as well, too, because you're always pulling things out of people, it seems.
Yeah, that I opened a few links, now that was disturbing.
All right, since I destroyed our listeners' eyes with this horrible Revenge Crabs website, I feel like I need to redeem myself. So in case you have not heard of this site, go check out don'tevenreply.com. The basic premise of the site is this guy replies to Craigslist like ads of various sorts, but he does it in really funny or assholeish ways. My favorite by far is in the Hall of Fame section, or the top rated ones or whatever, the disguised weapons. I could literally not stop laughing for like forever. I actually bought his book, which has some of the similar.
Sorry, I'm looking at the first one. It shows he's emailed the lady about getting a new crib, and he shows one with like a car battery hooked up to it.
Yeah, you literally can't stop. You got to read the whole things. They're hilarious. Like, I don't laugh out loud too often because I've done stand-up comedy. You kind of just... But it's literally the funniest thing. Like, I sat there for like 6 hours one night. I did nothing but read this site. It's just hilarious. Don't even reply.com. I would advise you getting the book. It's like $6 to get the book. It's pretty funny. It's like bathroom reading. So there's my plug for a website that's actually good and not revenge grabs.
Wow, I have not heard of this. This is really good.
I know, it's absolutely hilarious. Like, disguised weapons, if you read the whole thing, is like literally the funniest thing. I can't even describe it.
Wow, thank you. This is an excellent link.
Yeah, it's good.
The Jose Cuervo like water bottle in the crib is pretty funny.
So have you read? Were you reading it or just looking at the pictures?
I've read it. I've just been browsing as we talked here.
He like says it. The crib's for a midget. That like, yeah, it's hilarious. But yeah, literally. You can read everything in the top rated section. It's absolutely hilarious. I actually just read all of them. So there's like 85 emails on there or something, and he keeps adding more. But it's quite entertaining.
All right, guys. Well, Conley and Jack, thank you for joining. This is yet another epic episode of Monday Night Magic. Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's one word for it.
Crabalicious.
I think informational would be another.
Yeah, we went all over the globe. We gave some stuff from Holland and Sweden and Australia. And
we've even given business opportunities.
Yeah, we plugged some sites that possibly are horrendous and maybe illegal.
We even talked about STDs. How many times per episode can we do that? I mean, really?
We're at about 1,000, I think, like 50 episodes in a row of at least mentioning an STD
once. For those not in the know, baby powder may or may not be a cure for some STDs. So, just saying, might as well try it.
Wow. Okay, well, guys, I'm reading the It's Not Illegal section of Revenge Crap, so we're going to have to cut this out because I'm going to have to sit down and read this before I get myself in some trouble.
Okay.
So all of our listeners, thank you. Please check out RevengeCrabs.com and I don't even reply.com, so that's also very entertaining. And Conley, keep us up to date about kind of your new business ventures. You know more about it. We'll share with everybody on the podcast. Jack, yep. Thank you as always. And congratulations on your computer. The computer business doing much better. It sounds like you've been really busy.
Oh my God! It's like I work all day long, and then I come home and I look on the computer. Which I must apologize, guys. That's why I've not been here. It's just sometimes you really don't want to look at the computer screen. Business has just exploded in the last couple of months, and I mean it's a lot to do with just people are reaching out and they're finding out we're good and we're cheap. We're very, very cheap. That's right. I'm very cheap, ladies. By all means, please contact me in my email.
I love a cheap Jack.
Yes, everybody loves a cheap Jack. And with that being said, might I say that Conley is also available with the baby powder.
Yes, he is very smooth and very sweat-free.
I like to call him Mr. Velvety.
So do you have to shave down there, Conley, so you don't get like baby powder and up and all your...
Okay, let's officially end the cast.
Otherwise, it's going to look like...
No. Tom, look, this has been an educational episode. I think I've learned everything I need to know.
They call him Albert Einstein. That's all I'm saying.
Real men don't shave and tell, Tom.
I used to shave my feet. That's about all I'm
saying. Whoa, let's go. Podcast over. Goodbye, everybody.
Okay, see you guys. Have a good one.